Let's pray.
Our Holy Father, we praise you. We worship you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for giving us another day of life, Lord, for giving us the freedom to be able to come into this building and meet together as a family, as brothers and sisters, as the church, Lord, to go through your holy word. We pray, Father, that as we look into your word, which you spoke, which you breathed, Lord, that which you inspired through the Holy Spirit, the men wrote what you wanted down. So as we go through your holy word, Father, we pray that it would speak to us, that it would convict us, that it would accomplish its perfect work in our own lives, Father. We ask, Lord, that you would prepare our hearts and our minds, Father, that it would cause us to be more obedient in our lives, in our actions, in our words, and even in our thoughts, Lord. We pray that through your word, we will become more like you, more like your Son, Jesus. That through your word, we will love each other just as you have loved us, Father. We pray for those who are unable to make it tonight, that, Lord, that you would watch over them, that you would keep them from harm's way, Father. In Jesus' holy name, amen. So, tonight we'll be on 1 John chapter 3, verse 19 through 21. But as usual, we'll read back. Let's just read the whole chapter. Anyone want to volunteer to read? Elijah, just read all the way up until 21, please.
Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Behold, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God.
Amen.
Okay. Thank you, Elijah. So if you remember last week, or 2 weeks ago actually, we talked about that on 17 and 18, whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother as need and does not help him, he sees that he needs a jacket or sees that he needs food and does not help his brother, how can the love of God abide in us if we see that our brother is in need and we do nothing to help him or her? And then he proceeds to tell us, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue. In other words, just by saying, oh yeah, be warm and good luck, you know, I love you. That would be a word or in tongue. But let us love in deed and in truth. So now in verse 19, and by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. Knowing that the verses and chapter breaks were added later, this verse continues right on with what John has been writing. In fact, if we start back at verse 14 and read, it says, we know that we have passed from death to life. Why? Because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother, where does he abide? In death. Whoever hates his brother is what? A murderer. And you know that no murderer has a life abiding in him, eternal life. By this we know love. How come? How come? Okay. Because Christ laid down his life for us. So what should we also do? Okay. Whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, does nothing, in other words, how can the love of God abide in us? Okay. So let's, again, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and truth. And by this, by what? Okay. And by this, we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. Okay. By this, what are we talking about here? Love. He's been talking about love the previous few verses. Okay. That we have true love for each other, for the brethren. That our love has not been in word or in tongue, but indeed our love has been indeed and truth. Older manuscripts in verse 19 say, we shall know. We shall know. Future, for you Greek scholars back there in the back row. We shall know, which is future middle indicative of gnosko. At any future emergency. In other words, we shall come to know by this that we are of the truth. So, what is he saying here? And by this we shall know that we are of the truth. What is this truth that he's talking about here? Anyone know? That we are of the truth. Okay. I want us to turn real quick back to John chapter 18. Regular John. So what is this truth that John is talking about here? John chapter 18, starting at verse 28. This is Christ before Pilate. Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas to Praetorium, and it was early morning. But they themselves did not go into the Praetorium, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out to them and said, what accusation do you bring against this man? And they answered and said to him, if he were not an evildoer, he would not have delivered him up to you. We would not have delivered him up to you. Then Pilate said to them, you take him and judge him according to your law. Therefore the Jews said to him, it is not lawful for us to put anyone to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled which he spoke, signifying by what death he would die. Then Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus and said to him, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered him, Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Verse 38. Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" Okay, so we read here at the end, Christ says, "And for this cause I have come into the world, that I, Christ, should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." And then Pilate asks, "What is truth?" Okay. Now flip back just a few chapters to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, and we'll read 1 through 6. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be, may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." Okay. So we have Christ, Jesus saying that I bear witness to the truth, and everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Okay? Earlier in chapter 14, again he says, "I am the way and the what? The truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me." Okay? So when Pilate asks, "What is truth?" and when John is writing here, "By this we know that we are of the truth." What is this truth? Christ, His Word, Jesus is truth. His Word is truth. John 1:14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So when John is writing that, "And by this we know, or we shall know, that we are of the truth, that we are of Christ, for Christ is truth. His Word is truth." So if we are of Christ, if we are in the light where He is, girls, pay attention, then we are of the truth. You guys understand? And furthermore, when we love like Christ has loved us, we know we are His, right? Because before, we were definitely not loving like He loved us. But being that He loved us and laid down His life for us and made us a new person, given us a new nature, now through His power, through Him, we can love each other. And then we know, right? What did verse 14 say? We know that we have passed from death to life. Why? Because we love the brethren. So when He says, "By this," what is this? Love. "By this, we know that we are of the truth." In other words, we know that what? We are children of God. because we love. And because we are His, He has bought us. And He is truth. His Word is truth. And shall assure or will assure our hearts before Him. Barnes writes this, and it's kind of long, but I want you to listen to this. Albert Barnes writes, in the margin, as in the Greek, the word rendered shall assure is persuade. The Greek word is used as meaning to persuade, to the reception and belief of truth. Then to persuade anyone who has unkind or prejudiced feelings towards us, or to bring over to kind feelings, to conciliate, and thus to pacify or quiet. The meaning here seems to be that we shall in this way allay the doubts and trouble our minds and produce a state of quiet and peace, to wit, by the evidence that we are of the truth. Our consciences are often restless and troubled in view of past guilt. But, in thus furnishing the evidence of true piety by love to others, we shall pacify an accusing mind, our own mind, and conciliate our own hearts, and persuade or convince ourselves that we are truly the children of God. In other words, though a man's heart may condemn him as guilty, and though he knows that God sees and condemns the sins of his past life, yet the agitations and alarms of his mind may be calmed down and soothed by the evidence, by evidence that he is a child of God, and that he will not be finally condemned. A true Christian does not attempt to conceal the fact that there is much for which his own heart and conscience might justly accuse him. But he finds, notwithstanding all this, evidence that he is a child of God, and he is persuaded that all will be well. So the assure there is a persuasion for oneself. We're persuaded, assured. Okay? So assured of what? Assured of our hearts before Him. We're persuaded. How many, you know, we in our Bible study last week for the young men's Bible study, that's, by the way, is going to be a week for tomorrow. James will be there. We have been talking about, you know, our own sin and how it grieves us. And we're just amazed at what Christ has done in our lives. But at sometimes we feel so grieved over our sin. And on a daily basis, we find ourselves hanging our heads thinking, you know, God, how can I be your child? You know, I've failed you again. And so we're having this battle in our mind. You know, our conscience, we're condemning ourselves. Lord, how can I be yours? But when we see our fruit in our own lives, seeing that we are loving each other, that we do have grief and conviction over our sin, and that we are loving the brethren, we're persuaded then, and assured in our hearts before Him. Verse 20. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Listen to this carefully. I'm going to read it again. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. The word condemns is kataganisko, and it's to against. It's from kata and ginosko. Kata is against, ginosko is to know. So to perceive something concerning oneself. observe, usually to discern in a bad sense, and therefore to detect something bad, to incriminate. But look at what John is writing here. If our heart condemns us, in other words, we're feeling insecure because of our lack of love. So if our own heart condemns us, think of God who is greater than our heart. Okay? So if our conscience, our heart is condemning us, knowing that God is greater than our heart, and heart can mean conscience here. If we be conscious that our love is feigned, which means to make a false show of, to dream up a false story and tell it as the truth, to fabricate, to imitate as to deceive. So what does that mean right there? That definition of feigned, to make a false show of. What does that remind you of? Starts with an H, then a Y, then a P, then an O. Okay. We shall feel inwardly condemned in professing to have what we have not. Do you hear that? We shall feel inwardly condemned in professing to have what we have not. And so what are we talking about here? Love. Love for the brethren. If we're saying that we have love for one another, but we don't, our hearts are condemning us. So if God is greater than our hearts, and if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, for He knows every hypocritical winding and turning of the soul. He searches the heart. He tries the reins and sees all the deceitfulness and desperate wickedness of the heart, which we cannot see. And if we could see them, could not comprehend them, and as He is the just judge, He will condemn us more strictly and extensively than we can by our own conscience. Why? Because He's far greater than our hearts. God knows all. God knows all. Why? Because He's omniscient. Grudem's definition of God's knowledge speaks of God knowing everything in one simple act. God knows everything in one simple act. Okay, and this is what it means. This means that God is always aware of everything. The term simple here refers to the fact that His knowledge is not segmented or divided into parts. He does not have to reason to conclusions or ponder carefully before He answers. For He knows the end from the beginning. He always knows all things at once. That is amazing to me. And if that's not amazing to you, He knows all things at once. Okay? So listen to this verse again. I'm going to start at 19. And by this we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure or persuade our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Okay, so we're professing, oh yeah, I love my, you know, my fellow Christians. But knowing in our hearts that we really don't. And it's not evident in our life. So if our own conscience is condemning us, how much more God knowing what we think before we even think it? Knowing what is truly in our hearts, knowing all of those hypocritical thoughts. Right? But now verse 21. Beloved. And this is a term of endearment here. Beloved, if our hearts If our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. So he has just said, for if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts. Now he's almost, you know, in a way, calming everyone down here a little bit. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. Okay? 1 John 2:28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. So this is very similar almost. Why would our hearts not condemn us? Anyone want to take a shot at that? Why would our conscience or our hearts not condemn us? Okay, we've been cleansed. Why else? In one verse he says, for if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. And now he's saying, if our heart does not condemn us. So why would our hearts or our conscience not condemn us? Okay, bingo. Okay. If our heart, our conscience condemn us, something's wrong. We're not truly loving the brethren. Oh, and by the way, God is far greater than our hearts. Beloved now, but if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. Why can we have confidence toward God? Because he's truly in us and we are loving. Yes, we're going to feel that we fail every once in a while, for we do. But it is evident in our lives that we have love. That we see our brother in need and we do something about it. So therefore, our heart, our conscience is not condemning us. We're assured. So you see how that's kind of bringing it together here? This is kind of a confusing thing here. But listen, let's read these three verses one more time. Actually, starting at verse 16. Okay. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. MacArthur writes, love banishes self-condemnation. Love banishes self-condemnation. We can rest assured that we are His. When a Christian recognizes in his life the manifestation of love in deeds and actions, it results in confidence about his relationship with God. Continuing on what MacArthur writes. When a Christian recognizes in his life the manifestation of love in deeds and actions, it results in confidence about his relationship with God. Why? Because when you love your brother and you see he's in need and you do something about it, a true Christian will recognize, you know what? That is God working in me. Because I would not have done that before. Why am I caring about this person? Why do I feel sorrow when they feel sorrow? Why do I feel joy when they are feeling joy? What is it about me that is causing me to love my fellow Christians? To love these people? I didn't have that before. So that is telling you that Christ is in work in you and now lives in you. And thus giving you confidence and assurance that, you know what? Don't condemn yourself. Look at your life. Look at what Christ is doing in you. It results in confidence about your relationship with God, which is why John writes, "Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God." Confidence knowing that, wow, He has truly done a work in my life. And though I fail Him sometimes, I still have love. I have love for Him and I have love for the brethren. Hebrews 10:22. "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." We can have confidence, you guys, that we are His. And the way we know we have confidence, the way that we know we are His, is to look at our own lives. If we have love for each other, then our heart and our conscience won't condemn us. And we can have confidence knowing, wow, that I truly am a child of God. Because there's no way on my own merit that I can love everyone in here, that I can love each other. Christ must be in me. I must be His. But if I don't have love, if I see my brother in need and I do nothing, and if my heart and my own conscience condemns me, how much greater is God? And He will judge justly. He knows our hearts. He knows what's in them. We can't fool Him. We may talk, we may love in word or in tongue, but Christ truly knows what's in here. Anyone have any questions or comments? Let's pray. Our Holy Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. And we pray, Lord, that as we have looked to the Bible, to Your Holy Word, that these verses, this little section of Scripture that we have read tonight, we pray, Lord, that it would penetrate our hearts and that we would leave this place tonight pondering what has been said and to study it for ourselves. That we would be students. That we would seek out counsel and advice. That first of all, that we would cry out to You for understanding of what Your Word is saying. That we might mature and grow in the knowledge and grace of You. And so, Father, we pray that we would not have hearts that condemn ourselves, that our conscience wouldn't be condemning ourselves. But let us rest. Let us be persuaded. Let us have confidence in knowing that if we are truly Yours, then we will have love. Thus knowing that, hey, You have done a work in my life. That I do have a relationship with You with God Almighty. That the Spirit lives within me and is causing me to love the brethren. And what great confidence. Not that we can go and pat ourselves on the back and say, ah, see, look at the love I am doing. But to humbly say, God, you are amazing. For I could not love my brother like that if it were not for you. All glory to God. So, Father, we pray. I pray for everyone here tonight that we would look in the mirror and we would ask ourselves, does our own heart condemn us? Does our conscience condemn us? Knowing that God knows all things. He truly knows what's in our hearts. He is far greater than our heart, than our conscience. Or can we say that we have confidence? That our heart, our conscience, does not condemn us. For I am truly your child. I can be at peace. I can be persuaded that, Father, I am yours. Continue to do a work in me. In Jesus' holy name, amen.